First, we will have Simone Tullio, who will present a geospatial big data infrastructure for asset management. Please.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. My name is Simone, and I work at Igeos, that is a company from an Italian space agency and Telespazio. And today I'm going to talk about a geospatial big data infrastructure for asset management. And so I want to introduce to our platform that is called AWARE. It's a global land and infrastructure management platform. And our platform let the users to check the health of their assets, so the infrastructure and the land, and by identification of deformations and movements of their buildings and their land, using satellite interferometric products mainly, but also GNSS monitoring, IoT technology, RPS video. And also our platform let the user to control and monitor over time the assets and the infrastructure and their surrounding using specific encroachment analysis and change decker analysis. And also to the, our platform support the day-by-day management with GIS platform, a web GIS platform. And so our data comes mainly, as we said, from INSAR analysis. So INSAR analysis is like choose some natural sensor on the ground. And this sensor are called permanent scatterer. In fact, a permanent scatterer is a point on the ground responding coherently in time to different radar signal emitted by satellite, so by radar satellites. And good candidates to be permanent scatterer are, for example, rock, buildings, other infrastructure, bridges. So the data that we have on our platform are geolocated time series of displacements. In fact, a permanent scatterer is like a sensor, so we observe the sensor for hertz. And each measure of a permanent scatter is a point in x, y, zeta with millimeter precision. And this measure of a permanent scatter together for a time series of displacement. So we can monitor, like in the figure we are monitoring, a building. And so we understand that we have an historical evolution of the phenomena. We can study this this evolution, like as we can see in this time series, for example, of one point of one permanent scatterer. These measures are independent and complementary because, of course, we can also install IoT sensor on that building, but we have general vision of the displacements of the building directly from SAR. From the satellite. We are talking today about big data because usually each INSAR analysis generate, for example, in the city of Rome, consists of 17 million permanent scatterers, so 17 million of time series. Here we have an example. We worked with some engineers in a mining site, so we want to monitor the mine. We have three products here, so we have generated some heat maps. In the top left, we have the heat map PS density. So we have an heat map that show how the permanent scatterer are selected in the mine. It's a very important, I said, product because permanent scatter could disappear for maybe a collapse or terrain moving. And of course, we have the products of displace monitoring because the engineers want to see if the land is moving. And we have an aggregated of an aggregation of displacements sent to heat map analysis. Okay, so we can say that on the fly, custom heat maps, analytics, and statistics enable RM monitoring. I would say can give a complete understanding of the phenomena at site level. So going directly on the overall system architecture, we have some width gaps in the view, so we can set some filters, load permanent scatterer dataset, layer info. We have different several portlet, so GeoWindow portlet, home of course, configuration portlet, audit, and that portlet are these portlet are generated using Liferay portal, and we can generate also reports thanks to Mapfish. But the very interesting thing that I want to talk about today is the big data part, of course. And from bottom to top, the technologies are HDFS, Accumulo, and GeoMisa, Spark, GeoServer, and GeoAnalysis. So maybe most of you have already heard about HDFS. HDFS stands for Hadoop Distributed File System. So it's a distributed file system, and that is designed to be high fault tolerant and suitable for application that use a large data set as we have. And on top of HDFS, there is Accumulo, which is a key value store. It is highly scalable and distributed and also structured and sorted. On top of Accumulo, we have GeoMisa. I will say is the very important technology here, because it's an open source distributed spatial-temporal database, and that is built on Accumulo, so it uses Accumulo. GeoMisa enables large-scale geospatial storage analytics because it provides massive storage of point and polygon data, enables spatial analytics, of course using Spark, not directly GeoMisa, and provide, I would say, as more or less as much of the spatial querying and data manipulation to Accumulo as PostGIS does to Postgres, as this is not always the case. If you think about Elasticsearch, it has some functionalities, but not really so much. Another interesting thing is that GeoServer works with data stored using GeoMesa. So if you have an application that already uses GeoServer, integration with GeoMesa is simply a matter of adding a new data store. And the very, very interesting thing is that how GeoMesa and Accumulo do the index, so the indexing part. And because to store and query spatiotemporal data, we have to need to create a key that represents the three dimension that we said before, so the longitude, the latitude, and the time of each record. And GeoMesa uses a specific filling curve named Zeta curve, Zeta tree, to store this three dimension along the spatial line. So as we can see here, we have the Zeta curve in red, and that visits all the set of a map exactly once, so establish like an order, and so an index actually. Actually, the actual key in Accumulo is a bit more complex than a simple key value, as I said before, because Accumulo is a key value store, but it's also structured. So the actual key is more complex, but the GeoMesa, I would say, does automatically because of Zeta tree and function in here, in there. So it's not a problem. To compute the heat maps and other functionalities, we use Spark. For sure, you have heard Spark many times during this Phosphor G days. I would say only that in Spark, all work is expressed as creating, transforming, or calling operations on these spatial datasets that are called resilient distributed datasets, which are immutable and distributed collection of objects. And to program, to write software in Spark, we use Scala. We use Scala and, of course, Jupyter Notebook. Sorry. And one good point is that it is possible to implement web processing service to process data with GeoMesa and Spark, so we can expose a full remote geospatial analysis tool. Now I want to show you some videos of our platform to give a glimpse of the how it is. Okay, here we are in our CD room, and we are going to load a dataset of permanent scatterers, so time series. As we can see now, okay, the visualization of 1,000 points is possible because in PostGIS is not that fast. I mean, it's even faster than load to QGIS. Is that not bad? I will see. The second video is about time series visualization and compute a linear fit. Of course, this was possible in PostGIS, especially if we have few points. So here we are selecting some points. We are visualizing the time series of displacement of electric infrastructure. And then we click to fit, so we compute a linear fit. I said that the performances are good, of course, but it was possible also on PostGIS. The third video is about the heat map, and yeah, the fact is that we are able to generate heat map on the fly, and it's very, very fast. Here in the video we draw an area, and we choose the heat map type, that is density. As I said before, is just to have the idea of where the points are. We can set some parameters, and the generation of heat map is very, very quick. And this is useful to have an idea where are the buildings, the rocks, the various. And then we select the parameters, so we are going to display the displacement. And here in Fiera di Roma there was a problem with their buildings because the terrain was going down. Also we can set some threshold to ignore the area where no problem. The fact is that on PostGIS it was very slow. So the fourth and last video is about change color palette and thresholds. This is not merely a matter of visualization, because to change the colors, the threshold, and so the analysis, it gives the user to are able to do some data exploration, I would say. So it's not effect of only to visualize. And as the engineers in the mining site, I said before, suggest is that set custom legend and threshold is fundamental for the users, and that was not, I mean, the data exploration it was not possible with PostGIS because it was very, very slow. So to conclude, I will say some pros and cons with respect to PostGIS approach. We have faster access and visualization of data, faster processing and analysis of data, thank you to Spark. We have for free scalability, parallelism, and robustness. And that comes from HDFS, a Cumulus Spark approach. And we have, as I said before, one of the best NoSQL support of geometric function, thanks to Spark SQL, that we don't have, for example, in Elasticsearch. And some cons, of course, that we need more effort and experience to configure such a system. And we have to change data organization because we have to migrate. Maybe if we had the PostGIS database, we have to migrate to HDFS, Acumulo, GeoMisa. And of course, if we want to implement new analytic functions, we have to learn Scala. we can't use PLSQL or Python anymore. What we want to do in the next versions of the platform, do more encroachment analysis and automatic and semi-automatic detection of classification of changes, like the figure. So we want to know, understand that a forest is disappearing or a park is disappearing. And we are working on geotagged images video, and this is not a fake image, but really we are taking images from drones and geotagging, and this is very useful when someone want to see his infrastructure and check manually, I will say, or have a look of the infrastructure. And that's all. Thank you.
Thanks. When you compare the speed of your tools in PostGIS, do you try the raster vector analysis allowed by PostGIS raster extension?
Yeah, we use. Works. The question is if we use PostGIS raster. Okay, we use PostGIS raster, but we are talking about. We have permanent scatterer that are extracted from the radar images. So we are in this platform. We are using the extraction of points in only time series. We are not analyzing the raster directly on the platform. So we import, as we saw in the first video, we import a data set from like. Oh, okay. But heatmaps are generated directly from the point, the permanent scatter. We are not generating heatmap on the rasters. I don't know if I answered the question.
Any more questions?
We have not stored the raster on the platform.
This is probably a noob question, but this permanent scatter, is it just vertical motion you detect?
No, the displacement is about, I'm not an interferometing person, but the displacement is about the distance from satellite. So the satellite has an angle, and the displacement is
to and from the satellite.
Yes.
Okay.
But we have a dedicated team in our company that works on interferometric data. So if you have a question, maybe.
So if you have multiple readings of the same scatterings, you could get like a full 3D vector of the displacement?
Yes, but I'm not interferometric person, but the displacement in the entire series are taken, are distance from satellites, so are comparable.
Any more questions? Okay, so I think we finished.
Thank you much.